psychological matters.
And indeed, psychological matters this evening. We're looking at the possibility of stress levels really going sky high over the exam times, particularly for matrics. But let's not just talk about matriculants. Yes, matriculants are, I suppose, the anchor group of people that we're talking about. But everybody writing exams, yeah, from university students all the way down to grade ones. Do grade noughts write exams? I don't know. It's a stressful time, yeah? And we are going to be talking to that with Senzekile Shongwe, SADAG's spokesperson, South African Depression and Anxiety Group spokesperson. Senzekile, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Aubrey. Thank you for having me.
And let me welcome Nkateko Ndala Mahoro, who's an old hand in this show. Nkateko, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Aubrey.
So, as I said, I mean, stress is ubiquitous. It's everywhere, Senzekile. It's part of our lives. Why is it that we should be focused on matriculants? But as I said earlier on, everybody that is going to be facing the stress levels that I imagine do escalate during that time, everybody that's going to be writing an exam, why is it that we should be focusing on that at this time?
I think us focusing on it means that we are supporting them. It's important for us to understand why they are currently stressing during this exam time. You know, when you're going to write an exam, it's not just about the paper. It's not just about the exam period. It's about your future ahead of you. As you mentioned, it's not just matrics that are writing, but when it comes to matrics, them doing well in their studies means that they are able to pursue their dreams in as much as they possibly can. And for people that are in universities, it means that they are able to apply for postgraduate degrees. And people that are in lower grades, it means that they are able to move on to a different grade. So it's not just about the paper. It's not just about their exam period, but it is so much more that is around their lives that depends on them doing well. So us focusing on it, us talking about it, means that we are their cheerleaders, and we're saying you go on and you do this, and we are behind you in full support.
And I suppose, Nkateko, it's very, very important that especially youngsters around that age feel the support from the community, from us, the community, because they are at a very vulnerable age. They tend to be very impressionable. They tend to believe that, you know, I suppose that this is the be all and end all of life. I always like to say around this time when I talk about this subject that if you do fail, it does not mean that you are a failure. It only means that you failed, right? You know, and you can try again. But talk to us about that age group and the vulnerabilities of people at around 17, 18, 19 at that particular time. What are we looking at just in terms of the vulnerabilities of people of that age?
Absolutely. And as you have pointed out, that it's not only them, although, yes, we're looking at the matriculants at this time. We're talking about a developmental stage where identity is being formed, you know, a strong identity. And some of that identity is around performance. You know, how am I performing compared to my peers? Is it good enough? Am I good enough? You know, your formation of a strong self-concept or strong self-esteem will be around that. I mean, maybe also, if I can point out, maybe it's fortunate or maybe unfortunate, I don't know which one, that it's not 10 years ago or 12 years ago where we used to publish the matric results in the newspaper. I mean, that used to be something else, as you know, if you can remember that.
Yep, yep.
You know, to just on that midnight into the results coming out to be looking out, and you know that the whole community is looking out for your name. As long as they know your surname, they're going to find you somehow. And obviously, if they don't find you. So I think maybe it's also fortunate that that pressure, that added pressure of the public display of your performance, you know, I mean, people used to know if you had passed with an exemption, or, you know, you have just you made it with just a school leaving certificate. So that it used to be so pressurized. But I think Now, with the social media, even though the results are private, but just the publication of it on social media in terms of, you know, I made it and this is the identity. And also looking at that age, I'm even thinking of, and I don't know if this is an overall educational system where the pressure has always...
Hello, Nkateko. Let's see if we can't get a hold of Nkateko back. Senzekile, yeah, and I suppose it is a time, as Nkateko was explaining, that we're talking about people who are developing, who are crystallizing their identities here. And for that reason, we can understand that it becomes... I wonder who came up with that idea at some point where our matric results were displayed in newspapers. I mean, it's true. I mean... I wonder who came up with that. I mean, isn't that illegal, Senzekile?
Well, the fact that it was there to begin with means that it was never legal. But I think now everyone is a bit more aware of mental health. Everyone is a bit more aware of the kind of impact that that had. If you remember well, there were quite a high number of suicide rates during those times. If a person would fail, or if their names were not in the paper, then they would sometimes take their lives. And even those who did not take their lives, it would be so embarrassing. And they would feel so small. Imagine going to the shops in the morning at 3 a.m., if you remember properly, and then you are looking for your name there with your friends, and your name is not there. You can only imagine the kind
absolutely.
Of disappointment.
I mean, you were saying now, Nkateko, that it's that time when those youngsters are developing and crystallizing their own identity. And that time, I've noticed, is when they take everything so seriously and so personally. And that adds, I suppose, to the danger of it all, yeah?
Absolutely. And as Zekilis, pointing out that we used to see high suicide rates because of that pressure. And I think the trend is still like that, although it's not so much about the public display, but more about the elitism of it all. And I was speaking, you know, just before I got muted, I was speaking about the educational system where, you know, your TVET colleges and your colleges, you know, your nursing colleges, your trades colleges, where I don't know if what happened really there. I can't, you know, put any finger. Maybe the education department can explain how did we minimize the impact and the role of TVET colleges. And so that what that did automatically was to, put pressure on people to now have to get an exemption, because now where do you go when you don't have an exemption? And that's where we saw the mushrooming of the private colleges. And where, when we talk about the private colleges and, you know, the names of it, I won't necessarily mention, but what are the fees there and who can afford to go there? So there was a whole trend and a whole move, you know. So when we're talking about now the performance, moving from the publication of the matric results from the newspaper, we moved right straight into the elitism of what the matric results meant, because it either meant doom or gloom.
Yeah.
There was nothing in between, where somebody with a great skill of artisanry, with a great skill of, you know, practical, did not know where to go if they cannot go to those private colleges that filled that gap. So I think it was, you know, for me, I reel on it. I reel on it daily and on the system of taking away the role of a TVET college, or even the maladministration that is happening currently in TVET college system, in trying to resuscitate, or even your nursing and your teaching colleges and putting it straight. I mean, now when you want to be a teacher, you go straight into a university, but it's not everybody who's got an exam pass to be able to go to a university, but with the passion to be a teacher in the classroom.
Senzekile, I made the comment that in some context, stress can be a good thing. But can we talk about what is stress? When is it good and when is it bad? And I heard you agree with Nkateko about the issue of the elitism around the idea that everybody has got to go to a university now. That obviously puts a lot of pressure on people to try and get that exemption, whereas there was an alternative in the past where people would go to what we used to call technicons back in the days. And that didn't mean that you were any less of an academic than the person who goes to the university, or let me say any less of a scholar, let me put it that way. Tell me about your thoughts about that, because I heard you agree, but talk to me about what are we talking about when we speak about stress? When is it good? When is it bad?
Just to go back, I think now, again, it has to do more with peer pressure and also standards. There are still colleges. There are government colleges that still exist where people can study your artisans, that where people can study some other stuff, your IT degrees and stuff like that. Your diplomas in colleges. But when you look at people around you, you will be diminished if you do not if you do not say that I want to go to UP or I want to go to this big university. It does not mean that the options are not there. They're still there, but everyone is aiming so high and they are putting that much pressure on themselves, which again could be good and it could be bad, right? It's all about understanding yourself, understanding what you want and what is the easiest way and the easiest route to go there. I always say to people that are in high school, imagine what you want to be, okay? Yeah. Imagine that, see it, and then plan your route. The route does not have to be traditional in a sense that you go to a good university for that. There are other ways in which people can fulfill their dreams in the sense that they don't actually have to go to university. But with answering your question, what is stress? Stress is the body's way of rising to a challenge and responding to pressure, right? And it could be bad in when you are unable to handle that stress, when the stress now becomes overwhelming for you. Whereas it could be good if it motivates you. So a little bit of stress can motivate you to do well at school. It could motivate you to pass your exams. It could motivate you to study, to build good relationships. But the moment it becomes overwhelming, then it kind of takes that away. Then the purpose is taken away, where now you are disabled and dysfunctioned by the stress that is overwhelming you, which normally is accompanied with feelings of anxiety.
Yeah, yeah. And I suppose when those feelings of anxiety become overwhelming to the point where you can't function as a person, then that's when we need to get some help, yeah?
Exactly.
And I think in adding to what this saying, the stress helping you to perform. I mean, we say there's e-stress and de-stress. So when obviously we commonly use the word stress almost as a bad thing, but stress can be good. The e-stress and then de-stress, it's when it's overwhelming. But in the way that it helps us to perform is that there is, extra blood that circulates, then your bloodstream becomes oxygenated, and then the brain is awake. It's much more alert. So you need that alertness to be able to perform, or maybe what we might even call performance anxiety. And you need, it's just a kick to awaken you to be able to perform at that particular time, to rise up to what you need to do.
Mm-hmm. My guests, Senzekile Nhlongwe, SADAG's spokesperson. The SADAG is South African Depression and Anxiety Group, doing excellent work, absolutely excellent work. I mean, Senzekile, you need to know this, that I refer a lot of people that I speak to on nighttime radio who I find need the intervention of professionals, and I've always had good feedback from people that we refer to you guys, and so I want to thank you for the work that you guys do. I'd also like to invite those of you listening to the conversation, if and it doesn't have to be just matriculants, right? Anybody that is going to be facing some form of examination over this time. But as we are, in fact, focusing on matriculants, give us a call. I loved what Senzekile had to say when we started, that this conversation is in lieu of us wanting to give you the understanding that we are behind you, that we are trying to support you, right? And we understand, as Nkateko said, that this is a critical stage of your life where you are really in a position where you are crystallizing your identity. So that in and of itself can be stressful. But the very act, the very process of having to prepare and write exams can be hyper-stressful. How do we take that stress and change it such that it is good stress for you, such that it is behind you and turbo boosts you so that you can achieve the goals that you're looking for? So give us a call on 011-883-0702, 021-446-0567. Caregivers, parents of people that are going to be writing exams, loved ones, significant others, give us a call. We'd like to know what are the questions that you may have as to how you can support your loved one as they prepare for exams. Nkateko, let's talk a little bit about the very idea of exams. Yeah? I suppose this is a bit of a rebel in me. I've never really been confident that exams are really an indicator of whether or not somebody has imbibed the curriculum that they've imbibed, precisely because of the stress factor. I find that sometimes, because the stress factor is so real, people just freeze when they get to this exam room. And the stress factor may be a factor that doesn't give us the full picture of what the person knows. Talk to me about the very idea of exams. Are they really an indicator of whether or not somebody has internalized the study material?
I think as I was thinking about this and preparing this, I thought of maybe we might be even talking about the format of the exams.
Yes.
And to me, I believe that as when you are able to give somebody an exam where they can express or interpret what they have learned versus regurgitation.
Yeah.
That word.
Yeah.
It's after eight.
Yeah. English. You English know, has never
I
loved
think,
that.
You know the. So instead of, you know, just the parrot learning,
yeah,
versus the application. And yes, I know it's not all subject matters that allow us to apply, but I was thinking of so many environments, you know, having been lecturing, you know, I always give students what I call formative assessments versus punitive assessments. And I think most of our schooling environment has been almost like, you know, we want to punish you for what you don't know instead of demonstrate to us what you know. And if you can translate from the text what you have learned into real life, because at the end of the day, we are examined to be able to apply the knowledge into the real world. And I find that there's a huge gap in a person having a degree versus the skill that they need in the workplace. And I don't know if we are, to start with, testing in the correct way. And maybe that's what brings so much versus this is what you need to apply in the environment. And therefore, now I can think application versus maybe that freezing point where I need to have crammed 600 pages versus, okay, I need to translate this into the real life situation, which is your case study, your application, your practicums, you know, your internships and the likes. And as I said, you know, I was thinking, is it applicable across the board, you know, in all subject matters? I think we can stretch it as far as possible to see that. And maybe, you know, I mean, for people who are not content heavy, they might struggle to give that input of the heavy theory versus somebody who's practical, or even an auditory learner or a visual learner, as well, where maybe they might do well in a presentation versus in writing down or even presenting a collage of a summary of what they have gathered as information that was in that subject matter. So I think it's about the creativity of the exam itself and how we, give the exams versus, the person themselves who is taking the exam taker.
It's probably one of my favorite subjects that you've just touched on now, Ngateko. And you'll know, Senzekile, that after we've received whatever credential, whatever credential that we've gone to study for, we wrongfully say that we are qualified to. And listen, I'm really putting my neck out there and say it's wrong to say that. I know that people have received a credential, right? You've got the degree in BA management of finance or whatever the story is. And then people say that I am qualified in, or I've received a qualification. And I argue that, no, you've received a credential. Now you need to get qualified, because qualification speaks to the ability to do the job. In other words, it is about competence. And how do you put the heavy burden of the idea that I am competent to somebody that has just qualified, that has just received a credential? Could that not be part of the stress? I know that it is something that is, goes right in the face of the culture of how we speak about the education system. But could that not be part of the stress factor, that we speak of qualifications when we actually are talking about credentials?
You are making me laugh. Definitely. And, Gateko would know this. At TEDx, we work with quite a lot of psychology students or people that have acquired their undergraduate degree and their honors degree, where there is no practical stuff that is given in university, right? And some of the people that have gotten these degrees have got no idea. They don't remember what it is that they learned in university. So I do understand what you're saying, in the sense that it's a credential. It's not really a qualification to do some of the things, right?
Yeah.
And Gateko should know that because she did her master's in counseling psychology, that is where you actually get to do your internship, do your community service, and actually get to do the work, which is very sad. I think if we could get the amount of training, practical training in every degree, then that could be much better in terms of preparing people for having a qualification instead of a credential, and also to prepare them for the work, for the life of work. So just answering your question in terms of stress, it is very stressful. Imagine having to get three degrees before I'm able to practice as a psychologist. What's the point? Why couldn't I have gotten one degree, have gotten my internship and my practical all in one degree? So it is stressful because I have to pass my matric well for me to get into an undergraduate, and then I have to do very well on my undergraduate so that I can do my honors degree, and I need to do very well there as well so that I can do my master's degree. Do you get my point?
Sure.
So it's very stressful in the sense that you always have to prep yourself for another achievement after another achievement. There's really never a break. And even when you are, when you do get that master's, there's still stuff that you need to do academically so that you are always up in your game.
Sure.
So it is quite stressful.
So the issue here, and whether it's at university, whether it's at high school, whether it's at primary school, and Gateko makes a very, very important point about this one-size-fits-all approach of assessing whether a student, a learner, a pupil has, in fact, internalized the curriculum, right? Because the approach is such that it does not take into cognizance the different profiles of individuals. Gateko, you spoke, for example, about the fact that some learners are visual in the way that they take in information and therefore able to present it. Some are auditory. I'm therefore asking a very serious question about the way, as you said, the way that we assess students, the very matric exam, the very focus of the public gaze on the matric exam. We've got how many years? 11, 12 years of school, but the focus is so heavily on the matric student. I hear Senzegile, and I hope that that's how we are being understood, that we are supporting matriculants. But is that gaze, that focus on the matric, not adding to the stress, Ngadego?
I agree. I mean, it is. It's almost like everything that a person has done, it boils down to this just 1 year. And now what happens when that 1 year does not go well? I mean, I have a client currently whose father had a stroke during their matric year, and she flunked, and she was a student all along, but then she did not do well because of the circumstances in surrounding her family life. And therefore, right now, she is identifying herself as the biggest failure. And this is 4 years down the line. And she is unable to recover from the severity of the depression that she's got just because she could not make it through that year. And as we're saying, she was an A student all along. It was circumstances in her family life where her father took ill. She was, you know, traumatized by the near-death experience. And she is unable to recover. Where else, if we were to be able to go back to that model, where I think even at, obviously referencing the standards, because I'm a 70s baby.
Yeah, we're not from five. We're not from five.
You know, the exit, I think it was at grade, is it standard 9? Eh? You had exit points at about three levels.
Yeah.
Where you could go and then you do your innated courses and you still qualify fully. So, you know, now you can't from your, I think from your grade 9, 10, 11, from your grade 9, I'm not sure if you can even go do your ends. You know, your innated courses from grade 9, or even
you can.
You know, so there was so much. Oh, you can. Okay, sorry. I was wrong about that. So, I'm glad that is still the case because you know it's just this bottleneck of the race of having to go up to matric and not giving people those options. Yes, that adds to that stress.
Yeah, I'm glad you can, Senzegile. I'm glad you're closer to the process than Ozungadeko and I. We're from five people.
I did grade.
Thinking that when they have not... the grade.
Yeah, you know, now we've got people that do grade 12. And then we had people... Remember, there was from five. I remember we did from five. With JMB.
You guys are so old.
Hey, it's rough. And then there was a thing called matric. Now it's grade 12. You know, very very interesting stuff.
Yes, yes.
But before we get caught up, Ozungadego, go ahead.
No, it's fine. I think we can go
sure.
to coping strategies.
Indeed. So because we can get locked up in the conversation about the system, which is the context in which our students, our learners, our pupils find themselves, and there's a lot of work that needs to be done there. But the reality is that that's where they are now, and it can be stressful for the many reasons that that you have spoken of. My question, Senzegile, is what should the rule of thumb be? Before you answer that question, I want to read you what Wonga Jinga on Twitter writes. He says, "Orbs, interesting conversation there. My advice to learners is that they must have a healthy daily routine, which includes learning, revision, eating well, exercise and sleep, yeah, that eating well, exercise and sleep are so important. Mm-hmm. When you're struggling to do this, it adds to your anxiety. And he is addressing that specifically to the matrix. I want to come back to you, Senzagile, and say, what should the rule of thumb be? We've now painted the context. We've painted the fact that people are not the same. We wire differently as individuals. And sometimes the one-size-fits-all approach can be problematic because it can raise issues such as, you know, here I have this credential, but I'm not yet competent enough. And then we have issues of imposter syndromes and all of those kinds of things. Mm. What should the rule of thumb be around this time as we approach the exam time and all of these heavy, anxious considerations that a matriculant and any other person who's going to write an exam, what should the considerations be as a rule of thumb?
You know, Aubrey, most of the time when I have spoken to students who are going through severe exam stress, it's because they did not plan ahead.
Mm.
It is because they have got little time for them to study until the next exam comes, which is something that I always advise against, okay? So the number one thing, always plan ahead. You get your timetables way in advance. So make sure that you plan ahead. Make sure that you have a schedule and follow that schedule. And within that schedule, have short breaks that you take. And also, it's important for you to know what your study method is. Aubrey will not study the same way as Nkateko will, as Senzi will, okay? Yeah. Because as Nkateko said, some people are visual, some people are auditory. So make sure that you understand what works for you, okay? And make that to work for you in terms of doing well within your exams and in the way that you study. And it's also a good idea for you and your friends to form a study group and to share information, because sometimes you might think that you understand one thing, but in essence, you don't. Or there is someone else in your group of friends that understands it better. Most of the time, and it's something that I'm seeing quite a lot now, where students isolate themselves quite a lot from their peers. I don't know, but they just isolate themselves. They don't want to work together. But I encourage group work in a sense that it really helps to see what other people think and add to each other's knowledge. And then also consulting with your teacher or someone that is senior than you, or someone that understands the content better than you. If you do not feel strong in a certain topic, you do not feel strong in a certain subject, go consult. Go and ask. Do not just keep quiet and stress, because that's another thing that leads to a lot of exam stress, where now you feel overwhelmed. You feel as though there isn't a way out. You feel like, you know what, I'm just going to give up. You lose hope and you become demotivated because you do not understand calculus. You do not understand trigonometry. There is always somebody else that understands it better than you. Go out there and get the necessary help. Another thing that helps when I was doing my grade 12 is that using past question papers really helps, because it helps you to kind of see what could possibly come out.
Yes.
And it helps you to pre-prepare for what could possibly come out. So go on the government website, go on Google, download exam papers, ask your teachers for past exam papers, and examine yourself before the time of the exam. And never procrastinate. Don't on your schedule say, today I'm going to study geography at 3 a.m. in the morning. And then 3 a.m. comes and you're like, ah, man, I'm just going to sleep. That's not going to help you. It's just going to derail you. It also helps to have a good support system, someone that can be your accountability partner. If you say that you're going to study at 3 a.m.,
yeah,
that person must be there to support you and say, hey, listen, you said you were going to study. Do that. And that is where parents play a huge role in terms of supporting their teenagers when studying. And again, like what our caller did say, eat well, sleep well, and keep active. It's very important to eat well. There's this thing that students do where they buy a lot of sweets and a lot of junk when they study, and they call them exam packs for studying, which I'm like, okay, It really does help to just drink water, okay? And when time comes for you to eat, you leave your books, you go and you have a healthy meal, you go back and you study. And never study and cram the day before an exam. That is where blackouts come. Make sure that the day before is for a brief revision and planning your next day, making sure that you get to the classroom early enough, making sure that you do not get late, making sure that you're seated on time, and then produce the work that you studied over time because you didn't procrastinate, because you planned ahead, because you prepared for that time to write your exam. And do not have conversations with other people before an exam that will make you even more anxious.
Absolutely.
Like, did you study chapter 15?
Yep.
I heard that this is going to be out. That just makes people even more anxious, which I do not advise.
Let's speak to Gideon very quickly. Gideon, hi.
Hi, Braubri and the team. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Thanks, Gideon. What's on your mind, sir?
Braubri, my advice to students would be to echo some of the points that your guest has highlighted, is to prepare early. I'm 51 years old. I've just completed my LLB degree.
Come on now, brother. Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So now, if you leave things until the last moment, that's where you actually put yourself under pressure, because you've got a couple of subjects you're writing. When you're trying to study this subject, you're worried about the other one.
Mm.
You can't concentrate. Your mind keeps jumping from one to the other. You find that you've wasted your time trying to study. So they need to prepare early, have a routine, and stick to that routine. Then it will make them comfortable as they study. I've been studying the huge books, probably, and the cases. I'm glad I'm finished. So they must just plan and help themselves.
Bragideon, thank you very much, and congratulations, my brother. Keep going. You are an example to be watched.
Mm.
Thank you so much. Osengateko, you have the final word in this conversation. As I thank Senzi, thank you so much, Senzi. But let's get Osengateko to give us the final word in this particular subject.
Mm. A shining light, Bragideon, and I'm sure if maybe there are kids around, he is a role model in it. But I think I want to highlight something that is very important, and maybe because as a mental health practitioner, I see this very often where people become stressed and overwhelmed, and we talked about the distress, and then their distress make them anxious. So now where we get into the anxiety that is a mental illness.
Yeah.
And in that anxiety, because they're unable to study, you know, they find that they cannot perform. And then that makes them fall into a depression because they're unable to perform. And it becomes cyclical, because now when you are depressed and you are unable to study, you are unable to focus, unable to concentrate, unable to take anything, you don't have energy. Now you become anxious about the fact that you cannot get to the books. So here now we are talking about this, looking into the seriousness of the mental illness, that it's not in the way of you being able to study, get to your books, and be able to perform.
Yep,
and for that, you need a professional help to help you through that and you know, just to continue and help you so that you can perform, because then it can be cyclical and you
indeed,
can feel very
indeed.
Bad about yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Let me ask Senzagile, how do people get in touch with you guys at SADAG if they want to continue this conversation? Maybe somebody's feeling overly stressed and they want to talk to somebody. How do they get in touch with you?
They can call our helpline. It's free of charge, 0800-567-567 or 800-567-567.
Much appreciated. Senzagile, thank you so much for joining us. Osengateko, how do people follow you? How do they get in touch with you?
We are at www.pretoriapsychologistsplural.co.za. They can also follow us on all the social media platforms. We have our every Monday, Monday Ritzen with Pretoria Psychologists there. You can get tips with many psychoeducational
much appreciated.
Topics. Yes, so we
All
are
right.
on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, at Pretoria Psychologists. Thank you.